leader.
Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
With Parliament adjourned this week, we're going to pop over to the House of Commons in London, where the Liberal Democrat member for Birmingham Yardley, John Hemming, used a question on Monday to defy court gagging orders protecting the identity of a Premier League footballer reported to be having a relationship with a reality television star, Imogen Thomas.
With about 75,000 people having named Ryan Giggs on Twitter, it's obviously impracticable to imprison them all. Order!
Stopping Mr. Hemming at that point, the Speaker, John Bercow, rebuked the MP for flouting the law.
Let me just say to the Honourable Gentleman, I know that he's already done it, but occasions such as this, order, are occasions for raising the issues of principle involved, not seeking to flout for whatever purpose. If the Honourable order, the Honourable Gentleman wants to finish his question in an orderly way, he can do so.
Mr. Hemming did so without repeating the name, which the media nevertheless immediately published in the belief that they were protected by simply reporting what had been said under parliamentary privilege. As our House of Representatives is modelled on the British or Westminster parliamentary system, I asked the Clerk of the House, Mary Harris, about what happens here.
The member in making the statement is absolutely protected from any legal liability. No action could be taken against him. But there isn't the same sort of protection for the media in publishing it. In fact, there's probably no protection. The only protection that would exist is the official report. Hansard would be protected, but the media are not protected where a member breaches a court order of some sort. They have some protection in terms of defamation, but not in respect of court orders.
Why are the media better protected if it's a case of defamation?
Well, the Defamation Act provides them now with a protection if they produce a fair and accurate report and it's not produced with malice. But that protection relates only to defamation. The Defamation Act doesn't extend to the reporting of breaches of court orders by members.
Mary Harris said the exercise of the privilege of free speech in relation to court orders, such as name suppression, had been examined by the Privileges Committee in 2009.
They recommended that where members are seeking to refer to issues that are before the courts, they should not do so in the House without first approaching the Speaker and seeking the Speaker's authority to waive the rule about not referring to matters that are before the courts. And if they didn't do that, if they just simply raised the matter in the House, then that might be considered to be a breach of privilege, and the member would have to justify whether or not the breaching of a court order or something like that was justified in the public interest, that there was a greater public interest in making this matter known than there was in protecting justice. The Privileges Committee also recommended that the rules and law around protections for breach of court order and publishing those be looked at again, so that there is more protection for publishing of a fair and accurate record of what was said in the House, and also for the broadcasting of that on both television and radio.
The Clerk of the House, Mary Harris, and now to Rhys Lyon for news of the only committee meeting this week.
And that was in Australia, where the Social Services Committee visited the Federal Parliament and the State Parliaments of New South Wales and Victoria. That was part of an annual Select Committee exchange visit, also providing a chance for the committee to pursue aspects of their inquiry into the identification, rehabilitation and care and protection of children that commit crimes. Back here, while there were no committee meetings, the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee issued its report on the Road User Charges Bill. The bill modernises the administration of road user fees for heavy vehicles. The committee considered 41 submissions on the bill and suggested several amendments. Also this week, the Finance and Expenditure Committee published its assessment of the Reserve Bank's Financial Stability Report. The committee noted that conditions for New Zealand's financial stability have improved over the past 6 months, and the country's financial system was reasonably well placed to support economic growth, despite the Canterbury earthquakes costing the equivalent to 8% of GDP.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.